After the census that is described in the first parak of our parsha, parak Beis is the great description of the way the Jewish people were encamped throughout their 40 years in the desert. And the entire parak is built on the premise, describes in great detail how the Jewish people were encamped on all four sides of the Mishkan, which was in the middle, three tribes per side. And it wasn't random at all, but rather, as the Torah tells us, Ish al degalob osos leves avosam yachanu bnei Yisrael, mineged saviv l'oh moed yachanu, that it was very, very deliberate and very organized in a very specific manner, were the tribes divided, three on each side, all four sides, equaling the four tribes. And how the Torah continues to describe this throughout the parak is that, in fact, on each of the three sides, there was a captain, as it were. There was a main shevet, which, so to speak, carried the flag of that unit, that team, as it were. And then there were two other additional tribes on that side. So, for example, the first one that's mentioned is those who were Chonim Kedma Mizracha, those who were on the east side of the Mishkan. And that was known as Degel Machan Yehuda. Yehuda was the team captain, as it were, the one who carried the flag. And in addition to Yehuda, Chonin Alav Mate Yisachar and Mate Zevulun. Yisachar and Zevulun were on, so to speak, Team Yehuda in the east. And the continuation of the parak is where it describes in great detail who was the team leader of the west, who was the team leader of the south, who was the team leader of the north, and which various shvatim were with them, all comprising the 12 shvatim. And this, in great detail, the Torah is telling us is how the Jewish people encamped and traveled throughout the time that they were in the desert. The fact that the Torah spends so much detail and so many psukim apparently cared so much about this, as opposed to just, so to speak, you know, going on a vacation, you know, okay, all the kids get in the car, you know, everyone, no one really cares specifically where people sit, where people stand, and yet here we see clearly the Torah very much cares where everyone was encamped and how they traveled, says Rav Aaron Cutler, in his Sefer Mishnas Rabbi Aaron al HaTorah, here in our Parsha, we see from this, Ad Heichan Magas Hashivus Inyan HaSeder. The message that we're supposed to take from this is just how important the role of Seder, of being organized, of being disciplined, of things being in their right place, doing things the right way, is in the Torah, and not the opposite. We shouldn't be disorganized, we shouldn't be ad hoc, we shouldn't be hefker, as it were, but things should be organized, mesudar, and not a hefker. This is not only as is the theme in the second parak, as I just mentioned, how the Jewish people are camped, but as the Torah tells us a little bit later on in Bamidbar Parak Tes, Api Hashem Yisov, Api Abnei Yisrael, Api Hashem Yachanu, that Hashem was very, very specific and very deliberate in all the times that they traveled, all the times that they rested. All of that was also very organized and very determined and specified from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Additionally, the way the great detail of the Torah went in to how the base of Mikdash, or excuse me, the Mishkan was built and was organized and placed and located. Furthermore, Mi Yisa Kli Zeh, which of the parts of the Shevet Levi carried which part of the Mishkan, how they traveled, how they moved, everything, all is determined, all is organized, all requires discipline and specificity, highlighting this idea of Seder, says Rabban Cutler. We see this in a very dramatic way, he points out, from the Gemara in Erchin, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, which picks up on the role of the Levim, another one of the themes of our Parsha. And specifically in Tarshish Baal Peh, it is noted that there were two specific jobs that the Levim had. One was to be a singer, to sing the songs in the Beis HaMikdash or the Mishkan, or to guard the Mishkan, or to guard the Beis HaMikdash. So says the Gemara, what would happen if a shomer wanted to be a mishorer, or a mishorer wanted to be a shomer? Somebody wanted to have the other job. He was a singer and he wanted to be a guard wanted to be a singer. Says the Gemara very dramatically, such a person was chayiv misa bidei shamayim. It's not the thing that the courts would enforce, but from a heavenly perspective, the person was liable with his life. What could be so bad? I'm a Levi, so I'm going to be a singer, I'll be a guard. You could think, what's the difference? They're both jobs for a good Levi boy. The answer is, no, you're wrong. If your job is to be a singer, you must be. If your job is to be a guard, you must be. You don't get to just switch and jump around. That's disorganized, that's hefker, that's undisciplined. Things should be mesudr. They shouldn't be hefker. This is further evidenced in a pasuk right at the end of our parsha, which is very cryptic, where the Torah tells us specifically when it comes to the family of Kehas, which is one of the Levi families, that we are told, Al tachrisu eshevet mishpachos kehasi, mitoch levim. We have to make sure not to cut them off. Rashi explains we have to make sure that we don't do anything that would allow them to be deserving of death. But instead, we have to, so to speak, protect them from themselves. And the next pasuk tells us how Aaron uvano are commanded, v'samu osam ish alavodasav almasa'o. They're supposed to give very specific instructions to Shevet Levi, very specific instructions to the family of Kahas about what to do. But as I said, it remains very mysterious and cryptic. What was the danger that Shevet, that the family of Kahas was in? And what is the antidote that is being told that to Aaron and the family of the Kohanim, how are they supposed to save Kohas? So Rav Aaron Cutler turns our attention to the statement of Chazal in the Medrash Rabbah here on our Parsha, in Parsha Hay, where the Medrash tells us that what's going on is as follows. Kohas, like all the other families of Levim, had different things that they were supposed to carry. But among those was the Aron, and that was the prize. The Aron HaKodesh is the most holy thing. And says the Medrash very dramatically that the different members of the family of Kohas were all vying for, they were all fighting with each other because they're the ones who wanted to carry, each person wanted to say, I want to carry the Aron. And that lack of discipline, that Kalas Rosh, that Hefkerness that led to Machlokes, almost created a life-threatening situation for them. And therefore, Aaron HaKohen was told and his family was told to step into the breach and make sure that each one of the Levim, each one of the family members of Kohas, had a specific job. They were told, you carry this, you carry that, so that there could be no machlokes and no absence of Seder. And basically, what Aaron HaKohen says, you see from this, is a very important point, that Seder brings shalom. An absence of Seder can lead to machlokes. Because Seder means knowing your role. And if you know your role and you're confident in it, you know that it's valuable, you'll stay in your lane. You have no need to be jealous or fight with anyone to the left or to the right who's doing more or who's doing less. When you don't have Seder, when things are undisciplined, that can lead to machlokes. Whether it comes to interpersonal relationships, whether it comes to the whole universe, Osa Shalom Bir Mamav, the whole universe, says Aaron Cutler, is built in a very balanced way. If the sun, the moon, or the stars, if it's a little bit too much of this, a little too little of that, the whole world could explode. You need everything to be in its proper balance. And every individual has to be Mesudar and B'Shleimut, so that they're not, so to speak, fighting, so to speak, with themselves. If you're disorganized, so to speak, internally or with the outer world, it leads to catastrophic consequences. Seder is the valuable thing for the world and for every individual.